I'm going to ask you to pause for a moment and attempt to recall the feeling that you had as you stood and joined in the singing of "We Thank Thee, O God, for a Prophet." As you looked upon our living prophet here upon the stand, never have I experienced the spontaneous outpouring of love that we witnessed during your singing and our all of us singing that great song. We felt the love as taught by the Savior. I hope that all of you will recall that, will remember it, will write it down. And that perhaps you might say, as I was thinking, words really cannot describe the way you felt as you looked up here at our prophet. Maybe you felt as I did, that I thought my heart would burst. May that become part of your history. In the hearts of all mankind of whatever race or station in life, there are inexpressible longings for something they do not now possess. This learning longing is implanted in man by a loving Creator. It is God's design that this longing of the human heart should lead to the one who alone is able to satisfy it. That fullness is found only in Jesus the Christ, the Son of our eternal Father in heaven. Paul declared, "For it has pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." Jesus Christ was chosen and ordained to be the one and only Savior and Redeemer of the world. To the brother of Jared, he said, "Behold, I am he who was prepared from the foundation of the world to redeem my people. Behold, I am Jesus Christ. In me shall mankind have light, and that eternally, even they who shall believe on my name." He taught his disciples, "I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at that last day." Today, much of the world is celebrating Palm Sunday, commemorating our Lord's entrance into Jerusalem. The multitudes, as described by Matthew and John, spread their garments in the way and took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him. It was the time of the annual feast of the Passover. For some time, the chief priests of the Sanhedrin had conspired together to find an excuse for taking Jesus and plotted to put him to death. They felt their opportunity had arrived. The day preceding the eating of the Passover, Jesus instructed his disciples where to find a room so they could meet together and receive his instructions. In that room, Jesus met with the 12, and they sat down to eat. After they had finished, Jesus taught them and ministered to them. He washed their feet and said to them, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet." Then he taught them, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you," he said. "Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. He continued to teach, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, also believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. But Thomas asked, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? The Savior replied, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. I came forth from the Father, and am come unto the world. Again I leave the world and go to the Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. While in that upper room, Jesus initiated the sacrament, picked up bread, broke it, prayed over it, and passed it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which I give for you. This do in remembrance of me. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. After introducing the sacrament, the Savior said to his disciples, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. The Savior prayed to the Father for the apostles and all believers. Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. After Jesus had finished his prayer to his Father, he left the upper room with the disciples and entered the Garden of Gethsemane to seek solitude and to pray. O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Of his suffering in the garden, the Savior himself has said, which suffering caused myself, even God, the greatest of all, to tremble because of pain, and to bleed at every pore, and to suffer both body and spirit. And would that I might not drink the bitter cup and shrink. Nevertheless, glory be to the Father. And I partook and finished my preparations unto the children of men. Behold, I, God, have suffered these things for all, that they might not suffer if they would repent. As the guards and Judas approached him, the Lord said, behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Then Jesus kissed him on the cheek, and Jesus asked, friend, wherefore art thou come? Whom seek ye? A guard replied, Jesus of Nazareth. The Savior said, I am he. The guards then led Jesus away to the Jewish rulers and then to Caiaphas, the high priest. I adjure thee by the living God, said Caiaphas, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Jesus was then taken before Pilate and asked, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews." And Pilate said to the crowd, "I find in him no fault at all, but ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews?" And the crowd shouted, "No, no, not this man, but Barabbas." Then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. And Jesus said, "I find no fault in this man." But the crowd shouted, "Crucify him, crucify him, away with him, crucify him." And they took him, the master, he whom Peter denied three times, and led him forth. He carried his own cross. He began the long journey to the hill, past the crowd that lined the way, past the weeping women, past the murderous mob that had cried for his crucifixion, and through the gates of the city, out to the hill called Golgotha, the place of the skull. And there they crucified him. To the penitent thief hanging beside him, Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." The last mortal words of Jesus, "Woman, behold thy son." And then turning to John, "Behold thy mother." And then, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. It is finished." Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, women went to the sepulcher with spices they had prepared and found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. The voice of an angel asked, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen." This announcement proclaimed the most glorious event since the dawn of the creation. Mary heard a voice ask, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She said, "Sir, if they have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." She heard someone say, "Mary." Then she knew him and replied, "Master." "Touch me not," he said, "for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend into my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Later, Jesus appeared to the apostles in the upper room where he had spent the evening with them prior to his death. They were frightened. Then they heard the voice of the Master, "Peace be unto you. Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." And later on the seashore at Galilee, while the Savior and the disciples were eating fish together, Jesus asked Peter, "Simon, son of Jesus, lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Feed my lambs." And then, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Feed my sheep." "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." And the Savior replied yet again, "Feed my sheep." Three times Peter had openly denied the Lord. Now three times Jesus drew from him the assurance of his love and loyalty. The time had come for Jesus to ascend to his Father's throne. Before his death, he had declared to his Father, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. After his resurrection, he tarried on the earth for some 40 days, that his disciples might more fully comprehend his risen and glorified being and be instructed in matters of the kingdom of God. Now he was ready to leave. The apostles knew he was the Savior. His disciples would no longer associate with him with only the tomb. They would testify of him as glorified. As the place of his ascension, Jesus chose the Mount of Olives, which he knew well, for nearby, on the slope of the mount at Bethany, he had found rest and affection with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Also near was the Garden of Gethsemane, where he had prayed and agonized alone. He chose the Mount of Olives to ascend from, and upon its summit his feet will rest when he comes again, not as a man of sorrows, but as a glorious and triumphant king. There on the Mount of Olives, the Savior instructed the apostles and all who believe, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I testify by the power of the Holy Ghost that this same Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, crucified for the sins of the world, to cleanse it from all unrighteousness, that through him all might be saved. He is our Redeemer, our Lord, our King. His kingdom is again established upon the earth, which is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This church, by divine direction, is preparing the world for his second coming, for he will come again, I humbly declare, in his holy name, amen."